My name is Brian Schoenbrock. I'm from the Morton Arboretum outside of Chicago. Some co-authors on this research are Michelle Catania, my research assistant, and actually two volunteers who dedicated a lot of time to doing the entire turfgrass study that I'll talk about. So talking about trees and applying biosolids and other residuals for trees. And I thought I'd just start with a little background on trees, their importance. So they have quite a value to the urban ecosystem, and we've done quite a bit of study in the Chicago area in particular. We've done three large regional assessments on urban trees, and the last assessment was concluded a couple of years back. We found that the trees have a total structural value of about $51 billion, and that's in terms of their carbon sequestration potential, cleaning air pollutants. So it's a very large resource. The problem is trees in the urban environment tend not to live very long. And all those estimates are based on leaf area. And what we find is that trees' typical lifespan in an urban environment can be 7 to less than 30 years old. So they're not living very long, and we're not getting all those big benefits that we really would like with trees. Any ideas why this poor guy died? That's a white pine. In the urban area, and particularly in the Midwest, we put a lot of salts on the road to keep them clean for cars, and white pine is very susceptible to road salt. So I think that's what happened here. It happens to be my neighbor's yard, and I snuck on the yard at night and measured the conductivity value of this soil. and it would be approaching a sodic soil. It had a very high SAR ratio, and I think that they tried to correct the problem. Any guesses what they might have done to fix the problem? Yeah. Yeah, that's what I would guess. Nice green grass underneath there, so it's likely they made the problem a little bit worse. All right, so, and the culprits why trees don't survive in the urban environment, well, a big one is topsoil removal. So a lot of these trees are planted in residential areas that have been developed and the topsoil is removed. And with that, we have associated compaction of the subsoil. And then on top of that, there's all these contaminants that we find in the urban environment that may or may not be important for hindering tree growth, but salts are definitely a big one. And trees, unlike other plants, they take a long time to die. So you can have them kind of festering in place, and what looks to be a really nice, healthy tree might not, you know, live to its longevity because you have a situation like this tree growing in essentially a bathtub. And you see that circling root there, this girdling root, that's not going to get out of the bathtub. It's going to get bigger and bigger, and over time, it's just eventually it will choke out the stem. So it's really important that we get in and fix the soil properties early if we really want to maximize these trees and the benefits they would give you. So that's where we come in. We do a lot of work on urban soil improvement for trees. And most of our research and most of the research out there has focused on compost and woody materials. And they found them to be quite successful. And this is some research that we published this year, a long-term study, a couple of years, looking at the improvement of soil quality and tree growth with compost and mulch compared to some other treatments like compost tea and fertilizer. And we saw that organic carbon does increase over time. And with that, and related to that, we see a bit large increase in both above-ground and below-ground root biomass. And these are data from two different sampling years. And that's great, but is there a way that we can speed up soil remediation? And with that, can we use some things like biosolids or actually biochars, residual products, that would potentially be going to landfills and put them back into the urban landscape? Which brings us to this. So a lot of stuff we're doing now looks at biosolids and biochar. And I'll present some results from a study that we started a couple years back at a nursery experimental plot within the Arboretum. And we're located about 30 miles west of downtown Chicago. The research plot right here is a relatively fertile soil. This is a malic alpha sol, so it is pretty fertile, but there was some erosion that occurred on the site, and it's actually very wet. So it could potentially be limiting tree growth. So our results are somewhat applicable to the urban landscape, but they're very applicable to nursery growers, so the folks that grow the trees. The species that we looked at are five very common urban trees. So this is a maple, a birch, a gliditsia, that's a honey locust, a crabapple, and a tilia, basswood. Different treatments in this experiment. We had a control, compost, tea, and I'll talk a little bit more. I'll give you some more details, specific details about these experiments, these treatments. So we looked at two different fertilizers. We looked at an NPK fertilizer and then a nitrogen, potassium, plus sulfur fertilizer, and the sulfur was applied to correct the pH. And we put them down at arboriculture rates. So arboriculture rates tend to be 4 pounds of nitrogen per 1,000 square feet, 200 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare per year. Okay. The aerated compost tea we used, so we took compost and put it in this GOT brewer, and we added a bunch of microbial foods, and we applied that as a soil drench a number of times throughout the experiment. And I'll talk more, if anybody wants more details on our compost tea, we have all the lab data for it. We used the compost top dressing, about 1.5 inches centimeters per year. We also used a double ground wood chip hardwood chip mulch, and this was applied to 10 centimeters for the first 2 years. Our biochar was 1.5 centimeters applied for the first 2 years. Our biochar was from a conifer feedstock, pyrolysis temperatures of 450 to 500 degrees Celsius. And our biosolids. So our biosolids is from made in Downers Grove, EPA Class A exceptional quality, 1.5 centimeters per year. So the NNP loading with these different treatments, so available nitrogen, available phosphorus, we're pretty close to, the idea was to use the existing arboricultural rates as a standard and then kind of get as close to that as possible using what people would actually apply in real practice, that 1.5 centimeter top dressing rates, and that's what it worked out to NNP. So kind of close on the end, but quite a bit greater on the phosphorus. So the experimental design was 5 species, 9 treatments, 4 replicates, 180 total plots. We prepped the plot in 2009, did baseline measurements, tree planting. We did applications for 2 years, and then we're monitoring since then. So we're looking at the residual effect of the treatments from those first 2 years. What we thought that we definitely thought we would see our greatest responses with our organic mulches, specifically with our biosolids, and we thought we'd have some good improvements in soil quality with the biochar. We thought tree growth and health would improve with the organic mulches, biosolids, biochar, and we thought that changes in tree attributes would be associated with improvements in soil physical, chemical, and biological properties. And we kind of thought that biochar would likely impact physical properties more so than biosolids. We thought that biosolids would have a strong impact on biochemical properties. So this is our NOVA and some of the stuff that we measured above ground. So we looked at quantitative and qualitative indices of tree growth. So we looked at diameter change and height change, and then we looked at leaf nitrogen content, and then we have a number of indices that just look at the overall condition of the tree, how full the crown is, how much dieback is there. And I'll just focus in on the interesting stuff. So all treatments, we had an increase in tree diameter. So really, to analyze the data, we looked at relative increase in tree diameter per tree. And we did have some significant species effects. So this is a picture of the trees, some representative trees in the last year in 2014. And I outlined the total crown area. And the data at the bottom is the change in relative diameter growth. Here we have our null treatment and our biosolid there. So, like I said, all the trees grew pretty well, but we had large increases in relative diameter growth in our biosolid compared to our control. And then if we look at that with some data, these are box plots showing our different treatments and their means in relative diameter growth across all of our years. We had significantly greater diameter growth with our biosolids, so a 220% increase in diameter growth for biosolids, compared to 100% increase in growth from the beginning to the end of the experiment with our control. And then the other treatments kind of fell in between those. Okay. Some other measurements in the trees, we looked at leaf color and leaf nitrogen, and we use leaf color as a proxy for leaf nitrogen, just a regression to validate that. And we saw in the 2011, this is the first year following treatments, we had green leaves in biosolids at all sample dates, and the next treatment was the NPK fertilizer. And over time, the order changed. So we still had our greenest leaves in our biosolids, so this is 2013, but that fertilizer dropped down, that NPK fertilizer, relative to wood chips. In the wood chips, we started to see greener leaves. And then this is just a mean across all the sample dates, leaf chlorophyll content. And again, we have our greatest increase with our biosolids, and these other treatments kind of fell between, and we have our control over here. Tree condition, so this is just one of the qualitative measures, and it's the most comprehensive one, but just like what we saw with our quantitative measures, we had our highest tree condition values with our biosolids, and also are less variable. So if we look at these other treatments, we had lots of variations in tree condition. Okay, so measured a whole bunch of stuff in the soils, and this is the ANOVA results for that. So now I'll just go through each one of these sequentially. No, I'm just kidding. I'll just focus on the main ones. And the main ones really were CN and P. So we really saw big changes in carbon, nitrogen, and phosphorus, and specific for the biosolids. We did see some other things with biochar. So year one, and then each year preceding, and what we saw, and kind of what you'd expect, we saw, and this is the top 20 centimeters where we did our sampling, as we saw a significant increase with our organic mulches, and we saw our highest increase in total organic carbon with the biosolids. And then we didn't see any kind, or actually we saw kind of a little bit of decline or no change with the compost tea, the two types of fertilizer. If we look at total nitrogen, kind of a similar story there, only in this case we had our greatest increase with biosolids and our second increase with compost, and we didn't have much difference with all the other treatments. Okay, so, and this is important. This is total nitrogen in the soil. So this is probably in excess of what the plant might be taking up. Okay, and then phosphorus. So lots more increase in total phosphorus with our biosolids. And it all kind of makes sense. If you remember the nitrogen-phosphorus loading, we had our highest amounts of nitrogen that we're putting down with our biosolids. So whether or not this is telling us that we're probably applying too much, I don't know. But we are seeing increases in tree growth with biosolids as well. And then ordination, this looks at all the factors, and it basically tells us that really what's driving what we saw in the soils are definitely related to nitrogen and carbon and phosphorus. So stuff over here we had higher CN, nitrogen and phosphorus, and then up here we had higher carbon. And the biosolids plots really fall out nicely from that. Okay, and then we did some regressions to see which soil properties were correlated to different tree responses, and we got really poor correlations with individual soil properties. And the ones that were significant really are CN and P. And this is not good. They're not very strong correlations. But then we start looking at individual species, we started to see a little bit tighter correlations. And this tells us that, you know, maybe we need to be considering species specific on application rates, because certain species like Lidditzia, they do fine in more infertile soils, whereas something like a maple tends to do better if we add a little bit more N and P. All right, so some conclusions from this research is we didn't see a lot of changes in physical properties with biosolids. We definitely saw some changes in chemical and biological properties. We didn't see biochar falling out next after biosolids or with biosolids. It tended to be closer to the end fertilizers. Tree growth and health, similar. We saw biochar to be down here. And we didn't see strong correlations with tree growth, tree attributes, and physical and biological properties. So just switching gears quickly and talk about our bluegrass experiment. So in this experiment, we looked at many of these same treatments, and we had five replicates, and this was conducted for 3 years, Kentucky bluegrass. And here we applied the treatments in 2013, and we measured in 2013 and again in 2014 without treatment reapplication in 2014. So biosolids, biochar, and compost. And here we use two different fertilizers. We use more of a slow-release organic-type fertilizer and a more fast-release fertilizer right here, and then compost tea again. N and P loadings and biomass accumulation. So we took the clippings off all these plots every year. So this is the grass clippings were not put back on site, so the only input from the plants would be fine root turnover. So that's something to consider and think about. But we did see, this is our treatment year. We saw significantly greater biomass accumulations in biosolids followed by our fast-release fertilizer. And then our second year, where we did not apply to treatments, we saw that same residual effect on the where we had higher growth with our biosolids, and then followed by our compost. And then these are just means across those sampling dates, showing that, yeah, we did have a lot of growth with our biosolids compared to significantly greater than our control. And our other treatments tended to fall between there. And we also looked at turf grass color, so an index of kind of how good that turf is, NDVI. And that's very hard to look at, very messy. So here's the means. And we had greener grass with biosolids compared to our control, and our other treatments kind of fell in between there. So what changed in soils? So electrical conductivity. So we had a big spike in EC during our treatment year, but that fell out very quickly. So that's kind of a good thing, because there's some concern when we're applying biosolids that we might be increasing the salt content, but we found that it dropped quite quickly. We didn't find any differences in soil nitrogen. So that tells us that we weren't increasing soil nitrogen levels with these different treatments, or not differentially increasing nitrogen levels. But we were phosphorus. So we had a big increase in soil phosphorus with our biosolids compared to our other treatments. And different from the trees, we had pretty tight correlation and pretty good R-squared values with some of our models between soil and plant properties. And these models included physical, chemical, and biological properties. And here's our biosolids falling up towards the top here, which predicted biomass. And likewise with leaf greenness in the turf grass. So what we think we can conclude from this experiment is definitely biosolids have had a good impact or our greatest impact on turf grass growth and color. We think that turf might be a little bit more tightly related to what's going on in the soil. The increase in EC was temporary. We think that the biosolids application rate should be based on phosphorus loading rather than nitrogen loading, since we did have that big increase in phosphorus. And also, I think that should be said for trees. And so I'll just quickly summarize what we find in some other experiments, because we've been doing these same sort of treatments in many different urban landscapes. And this is just a cartoon to kind of summarize what we've seen in these other experiments. We're generally finding these same sorts of things where with biosolids, we're increasing nutrients, a positive impact on pH, we're changing microbial activity and biomass. We don't know about what's going on in the microbial composition. And we haven't, specifically our lab hasn't looked at the contaminant levels in biosolids. But we've seen lots of positive improvement with tree growth and also health. So that's good. And then just quickly a cost-benefit comparison. Biosolids tend to get us our biggest bang for the buck. We get it free, essentially, and we get our best growth. So here's an efficiency comparison of those different treatments. So the dollars spent per grams gained in biomass. So the next step for us is to use biosolids in addition to biochar as a potential to hold on to something like phosphorus that we're putting into the soil with biosolids. Can we incorporate that with a biochar to make it less likely to lose? And we're working with Drs. Lockwinder and Dominic Rose and also Jim Montgomery at DePaul for these experiments. So thanks to the Arboretum, some of the funders of this research. And I think I might have time for a question. Let me see. Yeah.
Okay. I guess I get to go first because I have the mic. I'm assuming that as Arboretum people, you planted your trees properly.
Yes.
Do you have any sense whether these soil amendments are going to do anything to compensate for the fact that most urban trees have not been planted properly?
Yeah, so in our landscape experiments, which I didn't have a lot of data to present on that, we've actually incorporated them as kind of a tillage, and we use a high-pressure gun to go in and correct those improper planting problems there and then backfill with biochar and biosolids. So yeah, that's a good point. It's just we can't look at it with this data.
I was just curious where you obtained the biosolids from. Maybe you mentioned that at the beginning, but you said it was basically free.
Yeah, it's free from Downers Grove, which is a community right outside the Arboretum. In the future studies, we're going to get them from MWRD in Chicago.
on the biosolids, are there any? Is there anything negative about the fast growth of the trees?
That's yeah.
been an issue for their strength or something like that?
Sure, that's a great question. So relating to the fast growth of the trees, so that's kind of the dilemma. In a really difficult site, yeah, you want to promote a lot of fast growth to get those trees established. But long-term, do you really want to have trees growing really fast? Probably not, because they're going to be more susceptible. But then you're going to have something like insects. We know that insects prefer greener leaves and leaves with high nitrogen content. So we have to think about those things, and that's some of the stuff that we're looking at with our next studies. We're going to be taking biosolids and applying them to urban landscapes and then grabbing those leaves and doing some leaf feeding studies and things like that. So looking at the different trophic levels and potential impacts, because growth does not equal health in all cases. So good point. But oftentimes the real challenge is getting trees to grow and get out of that bathtub. So, yeah.
I'm going to ask you some questions.
All right.
Because I don't know trees. I come from a place where there are none. And so trees don't catch me, but the soil things that you talked about do a little bit. It didn't. Your EC you went up in the first year. What was your precipitation? What's the precipitation in that area?
In that year, let's go back. I actually have some extra slides because we did have some weird precipitation. So, in 2012, so ignore this is aggregate stability, and the changes in aggregate stability we saw were really related to precipitation. But in 2012, we had 42 centimeters of rain, which was an odd year. So we didn't have that much rain actually. This was and our mean is 59 centimeters. And the years before and after, we had close to 70 centimeters. So that EC drop wasn't related. I don't think it was related to excessive precipitation at all. Does that make sense?
You were measuring the EC in what depth, though?
Top 20 centimeters.
It doesn't take a lot of water to move it below that.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so it could definitely could be higher down.
So the and this is just a comment. Your decision or recommendations to do phosphorus-based rather than nitrogen-based recommendations on quantity. You're just following what the animal folks have done for manure-based recommendations for the last 20 years. So that's good. But the wood chips confuses me. You went through them pretty quickly, so I didn't see the carbon and nitrogen ratios on your wood chips. Tell me about those, because that...
Sure. The wood chip, the CN ratio, I believe it's like 80 or so, 80 to 1. And we didn't see immobilization or anything like that in with the wood chip treatment over time. And what we found in other research is the real benefit for wood chips are keeping water in the soil, preventing evaporation.
So more of a mulching.
Yeah, definitely a mulching effect. The wood chips that we use, she asked if it was aged wood chips. The wood chips that we use are aged in a pile for about 1 year. So they're not a they wouldn't qualify as a compost, but they're not fresh wood chips where you might get a big immobilization. So.
Well, based on this research and other projects you've done, what's your recommendation for the use of organic amendments in planting trees? Should they be used only as a mulch incorporated? What's the management practices you would tell a homeowner kind of thing?
Sure. What I tell homeowners often, and I get that question quite a bit, and I like to tell them to go look out in the woods and see what a natural forest soil profile looks like. It's a mix of organics and at different stages in decomposition. So if you can take your leaves on site, put them underneath the trees, if you could put some wood chips with that, if you have some compost available, recreate an old horizon sort of thing. So to the homeowner, I think that's a pretty safe advice. What we're trying to do is look at ways that we can kind of speed this up. Can we take biosolids and incorporate it into the soil and speed up that? So does that answer your question?
So a follow-up is, any issues with trees blowing over if your planting hole has more organic matter in it?
trees blowing over?
Yeah.
No, not in this situation. I mean, these are all surface applications. So, yeah, we're not getting destabilization of the soil with organic matter oxidation. If you were incorporating at, 25% volume in a downtown city plant or something like that, then, yeah, you're going to lose a lot of that organic matter, and then maybe you could have some stability problems. But these are all, and that's why I generally recommend top dressing. All right, so we should look what time it is.